Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
Many people in today's society are searching for hope. Maybe you're one of them. Are you facing a hopeless situation? Well, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to share with you that hope is still alive. Stay with us. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Paul Chappell serves as the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host. Our current series, Hope is Alive. Dr. Chappell is reminding us that regardless of the questions we might face or the situations we might not understand in our life, we can wake up every day resting in the hope that is to be found in Jesus Christ. We hope you'll join us for every message in this series, Hope is Alive. If you'd like to listen to past messages or find out more about Daily in the Word, or subscribe to the podcast and take Daily in the Word with you to listen to at your convenience, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Now, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
Oftentimes, people live with despair and discouragement, and when Christians are living that way, we certainly are living below our privileges, because the Lord has designed the Christian life to be a life of hope and a life of encouragement. Jesus said, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." I'm thankful today to have the opportunity to come by way of Daily in the Word Radio and speak to you about the living hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we're thrilled to begin broadcasting today on the CSN network, and we look forward to getting to know many of our new listeners in the months to come. Right now, let's learn more about our living hope through Jesus Christ.
This morning, we turn to Mark chapter 16, and we see the story of three ladies coming to that tomb on the first resurrection morning. Their hearts were filled with despair. They were filled with despondency over the fact that Jesus Christ, their Savior, had been crucified. And as they walk to the tomb, they are not walking there to celebrate the resurrection. The text would tell us that they were walking simply to bring certain spices and ointments for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts were filled with sadness. And I believe the reason they were so sad on that first resurrection morning was simply because of the fact that they had forgotten the words of Jesus Christ. And I want you to take note of that, my friend. When you forget the words of God, you will find disappointment will be the major feeling and emotion overwhelming your heart. These ladies had forgotten that Jesus had promised He would rise again on the third day. I wonder how much disappointment we've experienced in our lives because we have forgotten the promises of God. Jesus had promised that He would come back to life. Psychologist John Cleaver said, "The main emotion of the adult American who has had all the advantages of wealth, education, and culture is disappointment." Do you ever meet people like that? it seems like they're just always disappointed. And certainly there's a lot of bad news going around these days. But the overwhelming emotion of the average American today is disappointment. Well, I want to share with you this morning that through Jesus Christ, you don't have to live in disappointment. You can know, based upon the promise of the empty tomb, that hope is alive. Now, I realize this morning that hope is an inspiring word, but words can fade away, and the winds of change can come over us, and in our lifetimes, many times, hope seems to come and go. People offer hope. Politicians offer hope. Men and women around us offer hope. But there is only one whose hope is based on the fact of the empty tomb. His hope is eternal and everlasting. It is alive and unchanging. And I want you to learn more about it with me this morning. Notice, if you will, today there is hope in His miracle. There is hope in the miracle of Jesus Christ, who rose again on the third day. The Bible says in Mark 16:6, "And He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Now, this miracle of the resurrection had been prophesied in the Old Testament many hundreds of years before Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross. The Bible says in Psalm 16 and verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." The Bible declared before Jesus ever went to the cross of Calvary that He would not see corruption. Jesus Himself prophesied His own death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said in John 2:19, "And behold, destroy this temple, and in 3 days will I raise it up." In John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again." Now, did you capture that? Jesus' life was not taken from Him. The Roman soldiers did not take His life. Jesus said, "I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to take it up again." And my friend, only God could make such a claim. Jesus Christ foretold His own death, burial, and resurrection. And there are many reasons today that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and many reasons why I have received Him as my personal Savior. But one of the reasons is that simple fact that He predicted His own death, burial, and resurrection. There is hope in His miracle because it is a prophesied miracle. But there is also hope in this miracle because it was a proven miracle. This miracle of which we speak this morning was proven beyond any shadow of a doubt. Verse 6 says, "He is not here." The Bible says in verse number 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene." Jesus went about proving His resurrection to those His disciples and many others beyond them. Now, I know some people deny the miracles of the Bible. Some even make fun of the miracles of the Bible. But I want you to understand this morning, the Bible is a miraculous book, and God is still a very powerful, powerful God. I heard of a Christian lady who was traveling on an airplane not long ago, and she was sort of like my wife, Terry. She didn't like flying on airplanes very much, and her custom was to sit down on the plane and open up her Bible and just read the promises of God so that she would better enjoy the journey. She had her Bible open on this flight, and a man looked over at her, and he was somewhat cynical and sarcastic about the things of God. He said, "You don't really believe all that stuff, do you?" She said, "Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do." He said, "Well, I mean, what about like that story about the guy that got swallowed up by the whale? You don't believe that kind of stuff, do you?" She said, "You mean Jonah?" She said, "Yes, I believe the biblical account of Jonah being swallowed up by a great fish." He said, "Well, how do you suppose he was in the whale all that time like that?" She said, "Well, I don't really know. I'll have to ask him when I get to heaven." Somewhat sarcastically, he said, "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" She said, "Then you'll have to ask him." Now, there's a lot of sarcasm and cynicism in America today, especially when it revolves around the truths of the Bible and the miraculous events of the Bible. But this hope that we speak about today is not mere rhetoric, and it's not baseless. It is based upon the eternal Word of God and the power of the empty tomb. And Jesus Christ proved this miracle, first of all, by the fact that there is an empty tomb. You see, the stone was 8 feet in diameter. History tells us it would take between 5 and 7 men to move this stone. Roman soldiers were placed outside this particular burial area so that no one would disrupt the burial of Jesus Christ. His body could not have been stolen. The thieves would not have taken the cloth around the Lord Jesus and laid it neatly and left it inside the tomb. If his enemies had wished to disprove the resurrection, all they would have had to have done is to bring forth the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Henry Morris said it best. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth. You see, my friend, today everything Christians believe is based on the cornerstone doctrine of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. And this miracle was proven by the empty tomb. Secondly, it was proven by his many appearances. It's an amazing study as you read the Synoptic Gospels. You'll find that over 15 times the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself alive to various different groups of people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present day." 500 eyewitnesses saw this man. 500 people, some of the people who had seen him on the old rugged cross, as he was there with the nails through his hands and through his feet. As the crown of thorns had been placed upon his brow, they saw the blood flowing down. They heard him say, "I thirst." They saw him as he struggled to get air into his lungs. And finally, they saw the Lord Jesus as he said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. There was no doubt about the fact that he had died a literal, physical, bodily death. But there now could be no doubt about the fact that he had experienced a literal, physical, bodily resurrection from the grave. He showed himself alive, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, by many infallible proofs. Over a course of many days, Jesus Christ proved again and again the miracle of the resurrection. Now, the most important question concerning Jesus Christ this morning is that question: did he raise up from the grave? Did he raise up again? And if he is alive today, my friend, then you and I must no longer spend our time wondering how to live, but we must seek his will and follow his desire in our life. Now, I know there are those that have their doubts. There are those who wonder. I think about Thomas in the New Testament. The Bible tells us that Thomas doubted. He was actually known for being a doubter. And maybe you're like that. Maybe you're kind of checking things out and wondering how all of this could be and all about the story of the resurrection. The Bible says in John 20:28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." When Thomas saw Jesus, he said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." By the way, Jesus did not say, "Thomas, don't call me God." Jesus received that worship as he was the Son of God. And in John 20:29, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed art thou. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now, thank God this morning for the fact that Thomas had faith in the resurrected Christ, and Thomas believed that the miracle had taken place. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, that only a loving God would come back from the grave and show himself alive to a doubter like Thomas. Only a loving God would spread his grace upon this man, Thomas. You see, if you desert God, he'll still love you. If you deny God, he'll still love you. If you doubt God, he'll still love you. He is a loving God, and there is hope in the miracle of the resurrected Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, there is hope in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this with me in Mark chapter 16 once again. And notice, if you would, in verse 9. "Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. I want you to see this morning the mercy of Jesus Christ. He comes to various different people in mercy and in love after his resurrection. I want you to notice, first of all, he had mercy for the unfaithful ones. For the unfaithful ones. You and I might have said, forget them. They didn't stay with me during my difficult time. But I want you to see the mercy of Jesus. Notice this mercy, if you would, in verse number 7. It says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that goeth before you into Galilee. Now notice those two words, and Peter. Let's say those together. And Peter. Peter had been unfaithful. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Three different times while Jesus was experiencing his passion and his suffering. Three different times Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. John 18, 25, he denied it and said, I am not. You know, there may be some folks here this morning who have been unfaithful to the Lord. Maybe when you're around Christian friends, you'll talk about him. But when you're at work and they're using his name in vain, or when there's times when you could have said something about the Lord, you did not. And in truth be known, there may be some like Peter today who have been warming their hands at the wrong fire, hanging with the wrong crowd, not necessarily saying bad things about Jesus, but just not really acting like you belong to Jesus or you know him. And yet to this unfaithful man, Jesus said, I want you to get my disciples and Peter. You see, he has mercy today for all who will turn to him. Not only did Jesus come to the unfaithful, I want you to notice, secondly, he came to the unworthy. He comes to the unworthy. Notice, if you will, there in verse 9, it says, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary was from the town of Magdala in the region of the Sea of Galilee. Her story is an interesting story. She had lived a wicked life. She had lived a life plagued by demons. In fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 2 that this woman, Mary Magdalene, had seven devils living in her when she met Jesus Christ. She was a troubled woman. And I want you to know that the very first person Jesus personally came to was this woman, Mary Magdalene. She was an unworthy woman. She was not someone that we would have felt Jesus should give her time to. But he chose to come to her first. You know, we live in a world where men and women are filled with sin and demonic presence. Oh, it manifests itself with despondency and depression and hatred and anger. And sometimes we wonder what's happening in our society. Things are happening that we only knew about from the witchcraft-given villages of Africa. And now we see people in our own country piercing themselves like the ascetics of old. And we see people taking their body and doing strange things. And it seems like there's an influence coming into our country today that is sometimes unusual to observe. Where does that come from? I want you to know, my friend, it's normally not under the influence of God or His Holy Spirit or the Bible that people deface themselves and degrade themselves and mutilate themselves and spend time after time in immorality. Normally, that is not the work of God in one's life. Normally, it's a darkness. It's a depression. It's drugs. It's alcohol. It's the party life. It's fun for a while. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And yet, to this particular woman, Jesus said, I know you've had a past, and I know you've had those seven demonic spirits that plagued you, but I wanted to come to you first and let you know you still matter to me. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, if you've been unfaithful, God in His mercy says, I have hope for you. And if you have been unworthy in the way you have lived, God isn't casting you out, but He says, my hope is alive for you. If you will turn to me, I will not cast you out. That's the kind of God we worship this morning. Hope is alive because of the empty tomb. Maybe you heard about Brother Winters, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Maryville, Illinois. Perhaps you heard about this dear man 32 days ago who stood in his pulpit. And there at First Baptist Church in Marysville, he was doing what I'm doing right now and just telling people about God and His love. A man came forward by the name of Terry. He walked to the front. Some of the church members thought it was a skit or something of that nature. And the pastor said, "Can I help you, brother?" And as he said that to the man took out a revolver and he shot the pastor. First he shot his Bible and the pages spread everywhere. And then he shot the pastor through the heart and killed him. The pastor's wife, Cindy, was on CBS News a few days ago. She was being interviewed by Julie Chen. And Julie said, "How do you describe your feelings towards someone this unworthy, someone this wicked who would do this?" The pastor's wife said, and I quote, "I do not have any hatred or hard feelings toward him. We have been praying for him. One of the first things my daughter said to me after this happened was, 'You know, I hope that he comes to learn the love of Jesus through this.' We're not angry at all. We really firmly believe that he can find hope and forgiveness and peace through Jesus Christ. And we hope that that happens for him." Someone says that that man is unworthy, no doubt troubled, perhaps under a demonic impression. Why? What kind of evil would bring someone to do this to Pastor Winters? How could that happen? I want to tell you something. The love of Christ and the hope of the resurrection is alive in Mrs. Winters' heart when she says, "We still believe that God can touch and bring hope into his life." And I say to you this morning, my friend, if there was hope for this woman, Mary Magdalene, and if there is hope for others throughout ages past, there is hope for any unfaithful man and for any unworthy woman today. And don't ever let the devil tell you you've gone too far. There's a loving God always waiting for you to come back to him. There's hope in God's mercy. He has mercy for the unfaithful and the unworthy. Can I tell you this morning, he has mercy even for the unbeliever. Those who say, you know, you got to have your religious crutch, go ahead. Do you know God loves them too? Notice if you would in verse 11. "And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." They, the disciples, they too had forgotten what Jesus said, and they believed not. Now, unbelief is growing today. America historically has been a Christian nation, but the fastest growing religion in America today is no religion. That seems to be on the rise more than anything else today. In fact, the American Religious Identification Survey that was in USA Today this past week said that from 1990 to 2008, the percentage of those who identify themselves as having no religion has risen from 8% to 15% during this short amount of time. The fastest growing religion in America is no religion. People have come to a place where they have said, "You know, I see all the different kinds of religion and I just choose none of them. There's an agnosticism, if you will. There may be a God, but I don't know how to find him." And yet, my friend, even to those who say no religion, even to those who say, "I can't believe," the Lord Jesus Christ calls out to them and he says, "I, in my mercy, am still willing to save you if you will turn from your supposed education and rationalism and relativism, and if you will turn from your wicked ways and turn to me, you can still find hope and mercy."
Well, friend, you've been listening to part one of a message in a series entitled "Hope is Alive" on today's edition of Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell. Paul Chappell is the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We hope you'll join us for part two of this message, our present series, "Hope is Alive." You can find more information about Daily in the Word when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, we invite you to subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell every day. It can come to your email box free of charge. You can also subscribe to the daily podcast if you've missed any of the messages of this series, or if you'd like to recommend to a friend. Anyone can hear Daily in the Word by simply visiting the website and listening to past broadcasts or subscribing to the podcast and taking it with them to listen to at their leisure. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. We sure rejoice to know that you're a listener to Daily in the Word. We want to say thank you. So when you contact us this month by phone or letter or email, let us know that you're listening. We have a gift for you. It's a booklet by Dr. Chappell entitled "Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet." Again, that's Biblical Guidelines for Using the Internet, a great tool and resource for you and your family, or to pass along to a friend. Biblical principles for how to use the internet, how to protect yourself from the dangers to be found online. Our gift to you when you call or write to us this month or visit us on the website and jot us an email. You can call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748, or visit us online at dailyintheword.org. That's again, dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.